Okay, and here we are, hour number two, and George Feiler joins us this hour. It's always fun to have our family on the radio with us from time to time. Gentleman George lives in New Jersey. He is the director of the Mutual UFO Network Eastern Division, which may well be working for the government. George used to be. Of course, he's retired. It doesn't really matter. They're picking up information and got a lot of wonderful people working out as field investigators doing the work. They don't have to pay anybody anything. So it's pretty slick. It's kind of like Tom Sawyer getting all of his pals to help him paint the fence. Wasn't that the one, George? I don't remember.
Something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. So how you been?
I'm fine.
Good. Glad to hear it.
Everything's going well, and gee, it's almost 90 degrees in New Jersey.
Hot time in the old house. Well, it's good for Chris Christie. He can sweat off some more weight, right?
Right.
Do you have your Chris Christie 2016 bumper sticker yet?
No, I don't.
Good. Good. Well, let's hope you don't have the Hillary Clinton 2016 bumper sticker either.
No, I don't.
George, you sound like a wise man, George.
I used to send her my files, my weekly files.
Too
a
bad.
A lot of famous and semi-famous people are interested in UFOs. I think you know that as well.
I do.
That, as a matter of fact, I found the higher you go, the more interested they are. at the very highest levels are aware of all of this going on. Now, they choose not to tell the public about it, but in many cases, they know a great deal of information.
Okay. And, all right.
I think I talked about that tonight, that on my files, that Major General Wilfred de Brouwer, who is the Deputy Chief of the Royal Belgian Air Force, indicates that he looked into it and found that it's all very real, and that these craft were flying around Belgium, and they were chasing him with fighter aircraft, had them on a radar, numerous police, military spotted them. And not sure what they are, but they certainly know that they existed. They even got some excellent pictures, which is shown there on the files.
Correct. Correct. All right, let's see. Now, let's go to rents.com, the homepage. And take a look. Let me be honest. Quite a few people who are not in my inner circle don't like the look of my homepage. I like it. I like it because it looks old-fashioned. I don't want to look like the Washington Post, the New York Times. I don't want to look like Huffington Post. With all their sex on the right column. I could do that. Anybody could do that. But I like the look. I like the colors. I like the layout. It's simple. You got three columns. That's all you have to worry about. You got nice, just Taboola ads is what they're called. You got nice things to look at. It's kind of like a bazaar.
Right.
Just get to go through and look at the colors. And on the right side, I've got Rents TV, which is featured stories. You got some really good things there, really good. The YouTube channel, our official YouTube channel is there. You know how many? We have now over 5.25 million views. And we want to thank all of you for that. That's just great. Steve just put up, he's my producer, just put up another great piece, Jeff Rents and Eustace Mullins on the Zionist bankers behind every world war. There are two parts to it. Eustace Mullins, the brightest man probably of our age in terms of understanding how the world is run, who's running it, and what the game is all about. Look and listen. Watch Eustace. He was a friend of mine, and I miss him very much. I wish he were here. He was just such an incredible mind. And there's a lot there. We've got Jeff and Gerald Celente, another terrific performance. Jeff and David Icke. We went back into the archives to pull some really great stuff. David Icke, the legendary late Jim Keith. Then we move forward to Harry Cooper, terrible Tim Riefat, Jordan Maxwell, Jordan again, on and on and on. And we've just got a ton of stuff there. It's all synced to video, and it's all interesting. So anyway, it's just a lot of fun things. Center column, George Filer's issue number 19, 20, and 21 for you. Which do you want to look at first, George?
Oh, 21, probably.
All right. See, you don't like to build drama. All right, we'll start at the top.
Well, we could.
No, that's all right. Doesn't matter. They're all good. Nothing really dates. Okay, issue number 21, top of the center column. Thank you, James, for putting it up there. What is this partially clad woman on the right side here? The next step in evolution. Oh, never mind. Never mind. Okay. There's a big ad for a UFO event. Now, we get to Wilfred de Brouwer, Deputy Chief, Royal Belgian Air Force. Now, you mentioned that earlier, right?
Right.
Let me read what the general says. Get my magnifying glass here. I'm going to get a new computer screen, I swear. For those of you who have noticed the headlines have typos in them, that's my fault. My screen is so degraded I can't see it anymore. It's hard. Here's what the general said. In any case, the Air Force has arrived to the conclusion that a certain number of anomalous phenomena has been produced within Belgian airspace. The numerous testimonies of ground observations compiled in this book, reinforced by the reports of the night of March 30th, 31st, 1990, have led us to face the hypothesis that a certain number of unauthorized aerial activities have taken place. Until now, not a single trace of aggressiveness has been signaled. Military or civilian air traffic has not been perturbed nor threatened. We can therefore advance that the presumed activities do not constitute a direct menace. The day may come, will come, undoubtedly, when the phenomenon will be observed with technological means of detection and collection that won't leave a single doubt about its origin. This should lift a part of the veil that has covered the mystery for a long time, a mystery that continues to the present, but it exists, it is real, and that in itself is an important conclusion. Bravo, General. Major General.
And he's second in charge of the Belgian Air Force. The point is that many generals and high-ranking people are releasing information that they know about this phenomenon that exists in our skies. And we hope we're up to the... we hope they're up to helping us, but apparently some are and some are not. Another interesting part of this is I'm getting letters from people who claim that they were born on other planets and are coming here to help Earth because something great, I guess you might say, is going on. There's some kind of change occurring that is important for Earth. Now, whether all this is true, I don't know, but it's interesting that a number of people are claiming to be walk-in, so to speak. Matter of fact, I have one lady who's sending me letters each week telling kind of what she does. and how she helps Earth, and looking at the tectonic plates, hopefully helping them, you might say, stay together and keep the Earth safer. But something's going on that we don't seem to know about, but we see little glimpses of it with volcanoes and earthquakes going on throughout the world.
Oh, yeah. I don't remember in my lifetime any more than are going on right now. It's remarkable.
I certainly don't either. And then on top of that, we keep on getting reports from the International Space Station, who's taking pictures of what appears to be UFOs out in space nearby them and coming even rather close. And interesting enough, they're having plankton grow on these solar planets. And the ISS maintains an orbit about 205 to 270 miles above the Earth, where it's tremendously cold. And it's kind of interesting that the plankton, which is like vegetation that's in our oceans, is growing up there on these solar panels, which would indicate that there's vegetation, there's plankton and bacteria and so on coming in from space. In other words, there's a lot going on that's very exciting.
What's the next logical exciting thing to happen here? What do you think? I mean, we talk about landing on the White House lawn. Well, they've flown right over the White House. They don't really need to land, do they?
Well, one thing that could happen is that some leader or multiple leaders come together and announce that we're being visited. The Pope is one logical person, perhaps with some other leaders, you know, prime ministers of England or, you know, president of the United States or whatever, tell us that what's going on, which we all pretty much know, but they would confirm it. I think that's a possibility that may happen in our future.
No.
That the Pope has kind of hinted at things that, saying in effect, you know, if there are other humanoids or aliens out there, they're all part of God's creation. In other words, opening the possibility that they certainly exist. That they should believe in God or, you know, a creator of some kind.
Mm-hmm.
At least that seems logical.
Well, I agree. Okay. Let's go back and take another peek at number 21. Already, number 21. Wow. Scoot on down the page a little bit. You'll see that famous aerial shot of a typical-looking flying triangle. Remarkable. Strange things seen by the ISS in Earth's orbit. Take a look. Very, very wild. Okay, what's Dr. Bob Wood have to say?
Well, I've talked to Dr. Bob Wood many times, and he spent something like 43 years at Douglas Aircraft. And while he was working...
He and my father worked together.
Really?
Yes. My father was public relations director at McDonnell Douglas Missiles and Space. He knew von Braun. He knew von Braun. He knew most of those guys. He would go to the Cape for launches, go up to Cape Canaveral, Vandenberg. He was in it. No, that doesn't make me a government agent, friends. That was just his job.
Well, I think we're all trying to find what's going on, have it revealed in more detail to us. In any case, at the time he worked at McDonnell Douglas, he tried to find out and studied UFOs and their propulsion system and so on. I don't think he discovered exactly how they operate, but they certainly were interested in it. And Donald Douglas was the creator of the Douglas aircraft, was always very interested. And the point is that, again, top-notch people know about it and try to study it and try to find out what's going on. And often the key people in aviation companies are well aware of UFOs and they're trying to find out the secrets, and a good chance that they've back-engineered some of them. Lockheed is like that as well. In any case, Dr. Woods is upset about viruses and that alien intelligence may bring these viruses here. That, for example, if they wanted to take over Earth, rather than blowing it up like they did on Independence Day movie, they would allow some kind of virus or bacteria that we are not able to handle, something like HIV and Ebola recently, that in any case would be spread all over the earth and would cause a great deal of death throughout the world. People don't realize that millions of people were killed, for example, with the Spanish flu just after World War One. That probably the most deadly way of eliminating humans on this.
What was it, 20, 30? How many did they kill? 20, 30 million, right? Something like that?
Well, I've seen figures from 20 to 120 million. I guess they don't really know how many died, but it was a fantastic number.
Yeah.
It was like double what was killed in World War One, to just give a perspective that disease can be very threatening to the whole world. And that apparently he has obtained some documents, early documents from Interplanetary Phenomena Unit, that says regarding the crash near Socorro on the plains of St. Augustine, July 7th, 1947, the far more serious issues became apparent with the discovery of the bodies, as the document records. But what was even more important is that some of the aliens had died in a crash, but when they took the bodies and some of the material to Sandia Proving Grounds, some form of contamination resulted in the death of three technicians, even possibly a fourth. And, of course, this created lots of concern, and I think is one of the main reasons why President Truman decided to keep this very secret, above top secret, is that this whole aspect of the possibility that with a crash at both Roswell and near Socorro, that these bodies had diseases, apparently, that we couldn't handle. And after that, they were, you might say, locked up and kept very apart from other people, so that if the cadavers did, in fact, have disease, that it wouldn't spread throughout the earth. They said that the bodies were about 5 feet tall with grayish-pink skin color. Pretty much the standard description. No hair or little hair, with tight-fitting flight suits. Thought to be fireproof. And that possibly at least one alien lived for a while. But Bob, that was an interesting book that's worth reading. I'm about halfway through it. That it tells all about the situation that could occur. It's called Alien Viruses. Okay. He does a good job. I don't know if I agree with all the information that comes from the alleged Majestic papers, but it gives us a good idea of what's going on and
what's
likely to go on.
Yeah, yeah. Very good. I haven't talked to Bob for several years, but he's in good health, doing well?
Yes. I could probably get him on if you're interested.
Sure, bring him on. Yeah, let's get him on. Absolutely.
He obviously knows a lot more about the situation than I do. And he's very intelligent. And it's, you know.
Oh, I'd love to have him on. He's been on before, but let's get him on again.
Okay. In any case, there's indications that there is, in fact, life in space and that it's coming down. They've sent up some large weather balloon-type vehicles, into space thousands of feet high. And when they come back down and they examine them, they find the fact that there's living bacteria, which is too large to have come from Earth, that may prove that there is life beyond our planet, and that it's, sounds funny, but floating in space and may have been knocked off other planets and is coming here. As it may, in fact, be how life was created on Earth, that these seeds of life are kind of just floating all around. Not to mention that the spaceships probably bring some as well.
Sure, why not? I agree. Okay, music says time for a little bit of a break, so we'll be right back with George. Okay, and we're back with George. Let's go back and take a look at some more of issue 21 and see where we are. Go ahead.
One thing I'd like to mention that sounds funny, but one of my heroes is Francis Crick.
Who?
Who was Francis Crick, C-R-I-C-K.
Household word if there ever was one.
But he was the founder of DNA. And
what the heck is that?
Well, essentially how we're put together.
You mean he founded DNA? He discovered DNA?
Right, discovered it.
That makes more sense. Okay.
We exist.
I got it. I could have told him that. All I had to do was call me.
Right.
Little teeny pieces all stuck together perfectly.
Right.
Anyway, never mind. I could have saved the guy a lot of time and trouble.
Well, apparently we're quite complicated. So complicated that he said that the whole concept of Darwin's theories of evolution and so on just don't fit mathematically, that it's too complicated. We as humans are too complicated. In any case, he pushed the idea of panspermia, which is a theory that suggests that life spreads across the known universe, hitchhiking on comets, meteorites, or even flying in space, or even on spaceships. In any case, it's an interesting concept. that I think is becoming more likely to be proven. And they're even picking up meteorites that came from Mars. And on those meteorites, there's evidence of life that exists and that panspermia does, in fact, exist, which I thought was interesting.
It is. It is. Okay.
I don't know if you want to stay here or go to 20.
We can go to 20. Let's go to issue number 20. Let's spread it around a little bit. Let me see if I can back out of this page. I don't think I can. Ah, doggone it.
There's a lot of people, of course, don't believe in the fact that there was crashes at Roswell and on the plains of St. Augustine. But there's a new book coming out that indicates that that, in fact, did in fact occur. And that I've been reading, and it's very interesting that other things kind of fit into it. That if you assume that there was crashes out in the West, so to speak, you have to say from a military standpoint, what is likely to happen? That we have a message that says that General Eisenhower on the 8th of July ordered General Nathan Twining, the commander of the Air Material Command at Wright-Patterson, to go to White Sands to make an appraisal of the reported unidentified objects being kept there. In any case, he with a team of experts, which is where you might say the experts and technicians and scientists and so on, at Wright-Patterson, who developed new aircraft and so on, were taken to White Sands to see these crashed aircraft, to decide, in fact, what they were, what they were doing there. And this is, of course, when they found the bodies that obviously were not human, and the craft was roughly circular, but I have a picture of what it supposedly was actually like. But it kind of like kind of wing is coming up on the edges there. Difficult to describe, but you can see the picture. And they looked at the power plant and so on, decided that obviously this was not something from Earth, or at least not anything that they were aware of from Earth. Although it could have been at least a possibility from coming from, like, Antarctica, somewhere on the Earth that we were not familiar with, and the fact that even there was probably some kind of an alien organization there that may have his bases there. In any case, they also found flight logs showing the fact that General Twining did, in fact, go to out west and visited the area, which was interesting because a whole series of generals went and flew from Washington or Ohio or Wright-Patterson out west. And that was the only time that year, or even in several years, that any had visited that area. So that we knew that something extraordinary happened for these generals and technicians to go out there and examine the crashed.
Yeah, crash. Sure. Yeah, yeah. Okay, go on. It's very good.
Well, according to his records, Twining went to Alamogordo Army Airfield for a secret meeting with the Army Air Force Chief of Staff, General Spatz. And this information was released and at one time was classified but not been released. And Twining then went to Kirkland Army Airfield to inspect recovered from the power plant, and to White Sands Proving Ground to inspect pieces of the craft that were being stored there. It appears that there was two crashes, and that some parts went to Wright-Patterson, and other parts went to these various other bases.
Other places, sure. They kind of compartmentalized it, yeah, yeah.
By various experts.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting. All right, my friend, hold on. We'll be right back with Major George Filer in just a minute. Okay, kind of lively music. New picture by David Dees up. Monsanto strikes again. Looks like Norman Rockwell put through the Monsanto Roundup filter. Just horribly good in its effect. Tells the whole story. Family eating what appears to be a relatively wholesome meal. And there's a big jug of Roundup right in the middle of the table. And their skin shows the results. Yikes. All right, well, that's not far off the actual true beaten path. All right, now, let's go down to number 20. Center column, Filer's Files, number 21, number 20, number 8, oops, 19. 18. 19. Okay. UFO crashes. Now, there's that naked woman again. What does that have to do with UFO crashes? The next step in evolution. George?
Right. Gee. I didn't put that up there.
Yeah, I've heard that before. Okay. I didn't do it. I didn't do it. All right.
That's why I have webmaster does those kind of things.
Well, your webmaster should zip his pants up and take care of himself. It's getting a little bit much. All right, now, the Filer Research Institute. What the hell is that? The Filer Research Institute.
That's me.
Well, I'm not that dumb. I figured that out. But I've never heard of it before. Is this a wonderful company that grants money? Does it grant money to talk show hosts?
Unfortunately,
I know the rest of that line. You don't have to finish it. All right. Well, anyway, very good. Now, MUFON Eastern Director, it no longer pays $500,000 a year. Is that what you're trying to tell me?
No pay.
Okay. All right. Here's the Pope, who I could do without. Thursday is National Day of Prayer. I could do that now left in the trash can, too. Every day should be a day of prayer and thanksgiving. Now, here's a Russian general who saw a UFO, drew a pretty nifty picture of it, and boy, does that look weird. Of course, this is back in the early 80s, I guess. That's a weird
one. A lot of astronauts and cosmonauts have seen craft in space. Which is not
No, it's not uncommon at all. No.
And I think I've chased them and seen them. They're out there. As a matter of fact, for example, in April, MUFON got 750 UFO reports where somebody, each witness sat down at a computer and spent like a half an hour describing what they saw. And frequently they had pictures, though. You know, not everyone obviously was a UFO, that some was mistaken identity, et cetera.
Sure.
On the other hand, we feel that there's thousands each month that go unreported. So the point is that Peter Davenport gets his, 750 a month, and we get our 750 a month, and this time of year, and then it usually goes up to 1,000 each during the summer months. So just two reporting services get 2,000 reports a month, which is, at least I think, extraordinary. And of course, with people carrying around cameras, they're getting more and more pictures and better pictures because the cameras are getting better, you know, the camera phones, that kind of thing.
Sure. Oh,
and the fact that we're getting, indications of proof that the craft actually crashed, and they, you know, digging up areas where the craft are believed to have crashed, and they have debris, and the debris is being analyzed, and it's significant, and it's different, most likely, from the scientists claiming that it's not from Earth. Interestingly, some of the material in the craft has triangles edged into it, and it's of a composition primarily of aluminum, but with high silicon, manganese, copper, and iron all mixed together. And then almost all the parts are covered with a thin film, which they feel that was not, you know, used back in 1947 and pretty much had to be from space. Then they found some debris that looks like a honeycomb material that they found in, they actually found it in 2012, but they believe it's from the crash. And it's interestingly that a similar type honeycomb material was found in Japan on Shikoku Island some 41 years later. So there's more and more proof being found that these crashes are occurring. Not so many recently, but have occurred in the past, and that they have some of the debris from it. And it's kind of like proving that they do actually exist, and that even though they were, you know, combed by the military and all the, most of the debris picked up, there was still some that was left there.
Right.
Particularly, they think that most of the debris that they found was actually where the UFO came in and hit the ground, bounced into the air, and then landed, we'll say, a quarter of a mile down the road. But where it actually hit down first is where they got most of the debris from.
Mm-hmm.
And that debris is very different than anything they have.
Mm-hmm.
Art Campbell and his group did a great job researching that.
Right.
And
yeah, they did.
And people interested in reading the book, they can look it up, UFO Crash at St. Augustine. One of the things about this field is most of the good information is in various books or in Filer's Files or on your website or mine, the NationalUFOCenter.com, that the information is out there and it's getting better and better.
Well, it is, and they're not trying to hide like they used to. They want us to have, I think they want the civilian part of the population to have as much information as they can give it. And I think that argument can be made very easily.
they seem to want to give us the information, but not confirm it.
Correct. No, that's true. That's well said. And I think that should be one of the great quotes that is in your book. They seem to want to give us the information, but not confirm it.
Yes, they want that's deniability.
Very good. Plausible deniability.
Right.
That could be the title of your book.
And they're, well, I think they're worried about the virus possibilities, you know.
We have, George, we have viruses on the shelf right now, freeze-dried, that could wipe out all life on this planet. One is a bacterium, one is an algae. And it's true. And
right.
This was in the paper 10 years ago. So, and that's what we know about. They have so many designer drugs that would be catastrophic to the planet that they just don't talk about. Why should they? It would ruin their whole day if word got out. It's their big secret. It's their big surprise. Anyway, I am so disgusted with the way this planet is headed. It's going down, down, down into the hands of fewer, greedier, scummy, slime-driven garbage calling itself human. It's not. It's just not. So now that I've made myself clear...
Well, maybe they'll come and help us.
They have to. George, that's our only hope. The day the Earth stood still is our only hope. That's been my position for forever.
Well, there's the whole group that they call angels, you know, from a religious standpoint.
Right.
There's people who are contacting me. I mean, they seem intelligent, and they claim they're from other planets, and they're here to help. If you want to, I could possibly even get one on TV and let people decide for themselves whether they're... They have an amazing amount of information, I'll say that. And there's people like Nikola Tesla, who actually claimed to come from Venus to help us and develop our electricity. You know, there's now whether that's a true statement, but his female love, so to speak, claims that it was true. That's what she was told. So, and there's a lot of different things that happen if you have an open mind and. What opened my eyes was seeing the UFOs firsthand, that I think they are here and they are helping us. And I'm getting calls from people from various aviation companies that claim they even work with them, which, you know, you don't believe the first one or two, but after you start talking to many, you start believing that they are here and hopefully are here to help us. That we're developing tremendous abilities to go out into space. They're talking about this NASA now, talking about the fact that they have a new engine that can get to get to the moon in like 4 hours.
Yeah, and Mars in 6 weeks?
Oh, yeah. Anyway, comparatively short time. That, it's now quite possible that we can travel long distances and reach other planets. And then if we can reach them with our capability now, it's quite likely they're able to come here and visit us and have come here for a long period of time. In other words, it's more likely to be true than ever before. because we're proving that we can do it.
I agree. Good job. Thank you, George, for being here tonight. It's always a pleasure talking with you, and I had a good time and always learned things. And it's just great, the work you do. Thank you very much on behalf of everyone.
You're welcome. Take good care of yourself.
All right. Thank you, George.
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, good night. Okay, we'll be right back with Hour 3 and the editor of World Affairs Brief, Joel Skousen, to get his take on the ever more decaying, crumbling situation in Ukraine, the Middle East, the American-created ISIS, the brutal, vicious slaughtering they do of humanity. It just goes on and on. That's why I'm so disgusted with this alleged sentient species. It's not. It's going backwards, ass backwards, into the can. And you know which one I mean. All right, we'll be right back.